Good morning, pilgrims and travelers on the funny path of life. I was just getting another refresher, another listen to the day of the month in Japanese. So I'm actually, whether you want to or not, you're gonna hear it because it's taking me a long time. Well, a lot of practice. It's definitely something with Japanese that. Maybe teaching that they are saying that just takes a long time. That take a long time. And so here it is. So it's really funky because it had its own set of number for the first 10. They are really weird. Well, if you're learning it, because the here are your typical 1 to 10 number in Japanese, and there are two that have, you have two options. So you have ichi, one, ni, two, san, three. So you have here, you have yon, or you have shi, four, go, five, roku, six. Here you have nana or shichi, seven, hachi, eight, kyu, nine, ju, ten. And that's pretty much it. And then something's changed, but now here we're going for the date of the month. It's really weird. So the first is Tsuitachi. Then you have Futsuka, the second. The third, Mika. The fourth, Yoka, which is very similar to the 8, actually. But it just sounds a little different. The fifth, it's Itsuka. Then the sixth, Muika. The seven, Nanoka. The eight, Yoka. So here the fourth is yoka, and the eighth is yoka, which you learn the thing by the reading, actually. So that's the eight. Nine is kokonoka, and the ten is toka. And the other three exception is for the 14 and the 24th. It's juyoka and nijuyoka, and the 20th is atsuka. So you have no idea how long it's taking for some of that stuff to make sense. The amount of exposure. But at the end of the day, it is paying off. So there is progress. I don't know if I could fairly compare it with guitar playing, you know, where I don't know if it was getting bored or getting lazy, or, you know, what it would have meant to get being stuck somewhere and to keep practicing until you eventually get your muscle, your fingers to kind of work the magic, you know. But I got to a place. I mean, not that I never was great, but, you know, I mean, I was okay. I could do a few things, but it's... I get to a place where I just felt plateau, and it was just like, it wasn't fun anymore. So I have to say, I mean, I have times, and I'm sure it's going to happen again. But even now, I was dealing with the law and some stuff in Japanese with some, you know, specific lexicon. And for the law, the court, the judge, to be declared, to be found, you know, a criminal, a murderer, a murder, all of those things. You know, they're going to be definitely not your typical, but still, it's like there is kind of an ease. So I know that it's going to take a while, but it's not like a shock like it was before when we get to those new patterns, and it was just like, it just blew my mind away. So I think, I guess maybe the point I'm trying to make is our reaction, or maybe our initial reaction, gut feeling, whatever you call it, sometime is based on some prejudices that, unbeknownst to us, not only may not apply, but may prevent us from actually engaging into a challenging activity where something could be derived from. just because there is a, you know, misrecognition, I shall say. And I think there's science that talks about that, that the mind is kind of lazy in a way and trying not to reinvent the wheel. So it creates pattern of recognition. And when something kind of looks like something else, then he assumes it is. And I think more often than not, if I recall correctly, some of the studies, it's kind of off the mark, you know. But it's, I don't know, maybe dealing with the Japanese, the frustration, such a slow progress, and sometimes even feeling like I'm going backward. But to keep showing up, to make a point, to make it the first thing in the morning that I go on studying, I don't know, it could be maybe a way to retrain, a way to... And I still don't quite can't make sense as to why I'm kind of holding on to this thing, you know? It's almost as if I don't think it has anything to do with Japanese, you know? Yeah, it kind of almost, because I don't know, I just... Anyway, you know, like German, definitely, I mean, I could if I'm staying in Europe. But even then, you know, you have pockets of German in different parts, but that could be. And it's definitely very challenging right now because the whole grammatical structure is really weird in German. It's really confusing the way they throw stuff all over the place. But, you know, if the Japanese, definitely Japanese makes that easier for sure. Anyway, so... So yeah, I was just listening to that while I was doing the dishes, and I listened to this Marta Sensei, Sensei meaning teacher. Every morning she has a nice small bit about very specific topics, and yeah, I really like the format. It's perfect. I only wish, you know, like George Tremblay would do that, would find a way to, I don't know if it kind of makes sense. I know he's also involved in Korean and Chinese, so, you know, it's he's hanging a lot of cookie jars, and who knows, you know, he definitely seems to be quite industrious of a linguist. I guess, would you call him a linguist? Maybe not. Actually, he's not a linguist, because that's more like a profession, somebody who studies. No, it's just somebody who teaches those kind of Eastern languages, but again, I really like his way of framing it. It just makes so much sense to me. And once you find those people who do it that way, you know, it's just, it's kind of a no-brainer, and it makes it harder for with anybody else. I remember this teacher from Barcelona, Jaume, which is, I guess, Jerome in French, if I'm not mistaken. And he was from that school. And I just, I wouldn't say it was as good as George Tremblay, but it was, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed his format. Oh yeah, heads up. Here is a tail wagging. I think, we'll see, one day I may. It's hilarious, though, the noise she makes when I arrive. You know, she's just so excited that I might get a recording, because I'm not sure with the head. ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa, chupa chup? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? Yeah, it's a beautiful day today, isn't it? Yeah. ¿Qué está? ¿Cómo está? Oh, yeah. She's like, all right. Oh, yes. Oh, she's jumping. She's so excited. Ooh. There you go. Yeah. Yes, good to see you. Yeah, doesn't matter whether you're just happy because of the treat, whatever, I don't care, doesn't matter, I don't care. I'm just so happy to see you, and I receive gladly your sweetness, your excitement. Tu alegría, tu ánimo. Entonces, te voy a dar, porque hoy voy a Mercadona. Are you ready? Okay, let's see here. Sit. Quieta. You're too excited. You're panting too much. Slow down. Come down. You're gonna get it. It's yours. Nobody else is getting you. This is the last one, but no. There's one more slice of mortel. Right. No. Now what I'm doing. No. 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 I'm teaching her as I'm bringing the snack close to her for her not to react. No. I know it's coming very... No. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Okay. That. No. 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 Yes. Use good shit. Mm-hmm. No. No. Yes. It. All right, there it is. Oh, don't you bite my finger? Why is she telling me, Bowman? No. 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 Good. Nice and easy. We're gonna maybe make you do it gentle. Okay. Nice and easy. Nice. Nice. No. Nice and easy. Okay, that's it. That is it, my girl. That is it. That is your treat. Yeah, she didn't only forgot one so far. Only forgot one. Only forgot one. Only forgot. Ah. Oh my God. Love you. Okay? See you later. You beauty. You beautiful. You beautiful. Oh, a female in my life. Huh? See you later, okay? Alright. So as you may have heard me say, ciao ciao bambina. I'm going to Redon Jimeno. Torredon Jimeno, I'm gonna go to Mercadona. So I'm going to do a nice long walk for today. And actually earlier on I haven't done my Spanish yet. It was quite a bit of Japanese today. It took me a little longer. And Juan called because he was bored, because the field is still too wet. We had 4 days of rain. And so he was going to maybe come to cut some of those almond trees that I've cleaned up and the trunks remain. So I'm like, well, you come if you want. You'll not be going on a walk. So, because we're going to see each other tomorrow for the bread making. So, anyway, that was kind of funny. But, you know, the weird thing, I have my notifications off on WhatsApp. And I have the phone on Do Not Disturb. And the phone call went through. How does that happen? If I am on Do Not Disturb, I don't get it. Lo había puesto en No Molestar. No lo entiendo. No lo entiendo. Anyway. So today we have some clouds, but you know, I got the house opened already, so it's going to be a beautiful day. I think tomorrow is going to be the hottest, I think, temperature for this week, and it's going to drop a little bit, and then work its way back up, I'm sure, by next week. But, so, where was I going with that? So we have a bunch of cloud though, and it's definitely breezy. So I do feel cool. I'm in shorts and t-shirt. So, but it's going to be a great walk to Mercadona. I'm going to get 4 liters of soy milk and then a kilo of whole wheat flour. So that's going to be a good chunk of change to add in the pack. 6 kilo. Which is, for some people, the weight of the pack that when they do the Camino. It's amazing, some of them. Actually, Jenny had it that. Her backpack was very light. She really, mostly had clothes, actually. And then a book. I think, well, I forgot if she had it or not. She's a big bookworm. But she had a pack very, very light. Or like Dorito on the Ruta Vicentina. She also had, I mean, it was not even a backpack. It was like a little day pack that she had, but a little fluffy, and then she basically had everything. So I don't know what it's like, but obviously my lifestyle completely, well, doesn't completely, I guess. If I was going toward the right way on a Camino, I could get it shipped, by taxis and pay for that. But that makes no sense, and there's no reason for me to do that now. So not just that, but that, that I have that extra weight. And this year again, last year I took a break by leaving things at Pilar, but this year I am planning to have everything that's needed, and I'm planning not to return. So I'll be ready. Whether I do or not, it doesn't matter. But if I don't, I'll have with me what I need. So that would be few, well, it's not that many more though, but a few more clothes. So there'll be two pairs of underwear. In the pants, no, there will be nothing. I'll just have a pair of pants and a pair of shorts. But I will have four t-shirts, and then I will have my rain gear, my jacket, my mid layer. I would not have that mid layer otherwise, but that I will take it for when it gets cold. I'll have my gloves. The beanie, I have the beanie with me regardless. Because when I get chilly, that's something that I want to cover. Quiero taparme la cabeza si hace un poco, si siento un poco de frío, digamos. Anyway. So yeah, my pack is, I'll have my yoga mat with me also. And of course I have the food. So some people don't really. They just always buy either from the grocery or go to restaurants. But I rarely will buy the breakfast if it kind of makes sense. So if I kind of like the place, if I want to take part of that. But normally, I always have my own. So I carry my Nutella, my toast, my instant coffee, and in this case, I'll have a condensed milk, which is basically like a, well, I guess it's condensed milk, right? So it has a basically the milk, the sugar, it holds very well. It's just not practical, feasible, the whole soy milk. So I will do that, and then I'll have my some kind of pasta with me, or I'll have definitely some like ramen noodle soup, a couple of them as a backup. And I guess the rest is on a day-to-day basis. And of course, for Sunday, when the grocery stores are closed, at least in Spain, almost all the places in Portugal, I will have a place to go shopping on Sunday because they're open. So on those days in Spain, on Saturdays, I have to buy my food for Sunday. And I've debated, and I think I might do that again, to look at, well, if I can, I would do a shorter distance on Sunday. But it hasn't worked out for me to not move at all. The idea of arriving at a place on a Saturday and staying there for 2 nights, I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. Anyway. So, but yeah. So the weight, definitely by the time I'm done, actually, I will have a couple of tins of seafood. I'm gonna add at least a couple of 100 grams on there to make that kilo from the last adjustment. And then next week, I'll be making one of the last. It'll be either the one before the last, el penultimo. Kind of cute, huh? The one before the last in Spanish, el penultimo, the one before the last. And so I'm going to be adding 1 to 2 kilos more. So it's obviously going to be a heavier pack than what I have almost all the time, but those weekend could be tricky. And at times, if I have a short distance, I may actually put more weight. So I may get carried away with getting jars and heavier stuff to carry with me. Because if I have like, less than 20K to cover on a day, then it's mentally, I guess, it's mostly that. It almost feels like it's a good opportunity to kind of challenge on that front since it's going to be such a nice, easy day. Anyway. As you can see, well, it's not like I'm focusing or honing on walking again, but I've just done so much of it lately that it is really second nature by now for me, at least what's important to me. I was actually thinking about something, what, maybe yesterday or the day before. antepasado. That's the day before. Pasado mañana is the day after tomorrow. And because the way that I am, I'm always thinking logistic. So when I'm arriving, I'll be mindful of, you know, like, are closed stores going to be open? You know, if they are going to be open, or if I even have a small margin, I'll make it to the store. I would like to get all the stuff taken care of and then take my shower and then having nothing to, you know, outside of getting the food done, nothing else to take care of. And I like that. You know, take my shower, wash my clothes. So, you know, getting all of those things. And to me, having that taken care of, then yeah, there is boredom, actually, believe it or not. But, you know, the place is kind of cool. I'm, yeah, it's nice. It's luxury. So you see people arriving late. I mean, I have arrived late, but I think some people do it a lot more. For me, it's going to be on a very rare occasion, you know, because I'm doing a very big day, then I can't arrive that early. And I might possibly look for opportunity on this trip to, you know, maybe take a break. I have trouble with that. Hold on, there's a truck coming behind me. I have trouble to take a break. When I start to walk, it's just what I want to do, you know. And oftentimes, you know, if you're looking around on a Vicentina, you have a pretty easy, I think you have 1 or 2 days, I think, where you have a kind of a decent day if you want to, but if not, it is relatively easy, the distance. And so, you know, I can easily start at 10 and be done like by 2 or 3 o'clock. So, and I'm sure some of the caminos, I could do it too. I just choose sometimes because some places there will be nothing. You know, some of the options that you have, you could have shorter days, but maybe no groceries or they have no kitchen or whatever the reason. And those things are important to me. But yeah, it's just when I start to move, like, you know, normally from 3 to 5 hours, I don't stop. You know, if I have to delay or relay or whatever, but that, you know, that's very quickly done. But I don't see the point. You know, I walk at a nice pace. I enjoy the beautiful scenery. And why would I stop walking? I don't know. But again, often, more often than not, I arrive quite early. So that doesn't click yet, but I could see the potential of not arriving so early, you know, in kind of because it is a little different when you are as a truck coming. You know, while you, another one again. You know, when you have that the pack on, when you are on the Camino, it is so different than when you've dropped that backpack and you take your shower and make yourself comfortable. It's just I get my hat on. Those trucks are the wind from the truck is flinging it up. I'm sorry. Anyway, but yeah, the body feels great. I still owe myself another one of the child pose that I haven't done. So I left my yoga mat, and I still have the Spanish to do. So we'll see. But today feels pretty good. The kind of the energy feels feels right on the money. So we will see. That's for that. So you must realize that maybe, or I didn't find anything worthwhile to record this morning extra. But no, I haven't started Thomas Merton. I'm going to finish Mark the Ascetic. Is that what his name is? I forgot. Saint Mark the Ascetic, I think it's called. So I don't have, maybe I have a couple of days, no more than 3 days. And I'll be finishing his book of quotes. And then I'll start with Thomas Merton. So that's what I want to do. And then the rest is the same. But yeah, Vivekananda is really, the Ramayana, it is such a Such a strange tale. Anyways, Angate. Now we are entering more and more where Hanuman is playing a bigger role, which of course I knew of Hanuman because of Ram Dass. So he's a monkey that is an incarnation of Vishnu who is looking through this incarnation to serve Rama and defeat Ravana, who is a bad guy. And Rama is an incarnation of God, but he just doesn't know that he is God. Which is a big theme in Hinduism, and this idea of illusion. Well, believing that you are what you are not. Anyway. But yeah, this stuff is... I'm enjoying reading it, you know, it's fun. And then the NVC, Nonviolent Communication. It's, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I can see, but it still remains hugely impractical. You know, if you're not a therapist. I guess for a therapist, I think that's actually a great book. For at times where you may take something personally, you get lost, to kind of help you with some perspective. I think those tools could be useful to not lose what's important. That somebody could be really angry and really, really sad at the same time, and there could be something there. And the last one is Vivekananda, which that's just, that's going to take me forever to finish that monster. It's a huge book. But it's enjoyable, even though there are passages that are just doze off a little bit, kind of like where I am a little bit of, as of late. Anyway, but there will be. I'm sure there will be, because there was a lot of beautiful things that I remember from Thomas Merton. I was even thinking of Khalil Gibran, the prophet, you know. I have read the book quite many times, and it's beautiful. That's beautiful poetry for me. And it could be like it would be like 1 to 1.5 page to record each time, because the chapters talks about different parts, aspects of life, and it's really beautiful what he expresses. It's kind of like in a way, it's completely different, but there is a similarity as The Alchemist, in terms of, I feel like those people were like mediums, you know, that got tapped into, that they were not really the one writing. They were being written on, and they just, if that makes any sense, you know, because I've never written anything. I mean, I've written, but never written anything. Another track. Bit of a cast, then, today. I guess we'll see those clouds that will affect this temperature. But, yeah, there's something really... I've read some other Sand and Foam, I think, Off Sand and Foam, I forgot, by Khalil Gibran. I think I've read a couple of other books, and it just wasn't the same to me. I'm not actually a big fan of poetry in general, you know. But this Indian guy, I like that book, and definitely Khalil Gibran. Like Wiltman, Mark Wiltman, is it? Walt Whitman. Leaves of Grass, you know, I tried to read it. It's just not, it didn't do anything to me. You know, I don't know. Like I say, I'm not an intellectual. I'm not quite that way, those things that seems to appeal to the world. Like, I'm watching this documentary, which is, of course, a weird segue, but what the heck, about quarterbacks. So it's following season 2022. Actually, is an old quarterback from Lubbock, Texas, which... Why would I know that? Because in a documentary, but Lubbock, Texas is north of Kerrville. It's in what they call the Panhandle, kind of a flat, windy, stormy. You can get tornadoes over there. It's so open. Whatever his name is, I forgot. So they follow him as a quarterback. They follow the quarterback from the Minnesota, Kirk's. I think his name is Kirk Cousin. Kirk Cousin. And then the one from the Falcon from Atlanta. So the Kansas Chief. And then those three guys. And so they're following them. They basically give them access. And then they are the protagonist. And I don't know. Obviously, you know, those guys are young, you know. Well, I guess most of them has been their mid to late 20s, I guess. Maybe one of them. Could be early 30s, actually, but somewhere in there, mid 20s to early 30s. And of course, if you know anything about sports in the U.S., you know, American football is the Holy Grail, and the quarterback is the Holy of Holy, you know, the Holies of Holy, the Holy of Holies, or whatever. However, the saying goes well. And so, I don't know, it is so... A part of me, I mean, I'm going to watch it. You know, the whole thing about Love is Blind, I realized yesterday. I was like, what am I doing? This is horrible. This is horrible. This is anything but love as far as I'm concerned. So it has nothing to do with it. And of course, you know, it's a program. Actually, there was something funny about it. And I'm not losing track of the quarterback, but I'll segue shortly in this one here. But so you have those single woman, single man, and they can't see each other, but they talk to each other, they get to know each other and fall in love with each other. Just anyway, so I don't know. I like the idea, the concept, but of course it's a show. But what's hilarious is how fucking Barbie-like the woman dolled themselves up. And again, remember, they don't get to see each other, so they are not doing that for the guy, you know. And I don't know, and he looks... Honestly, to me, really, I forgot who said that, but they look like prostitutes. Really, you know, like if you're a woman and you have those physical features, you know, because you have good looking legs or your breast or your curve or your shoulder, basically you're going to use the shit out of it to make yourself look as desirable as possible. And that's assumed to be a good thing. And I think South Korea is big. I think, isn't South Korea the place where they have the most plastic surgery? I think the plastic surgeons are very known, if I'm not mistaken, in South Korea. But this, I don't know. So, I mean, of course, you had some, you know, some pretty young Swedish women, but it's just like, I mean, I guess here I'm not speaking for all the guys, but the kind of guy that I am, this does not. There was something that was so sexy, too, about Pilar, you know. That, of course, you know, she did dress up on some stuff, but overall she was just kind of casual, and it was like, it was just so sexy. Just be that, just be naturally. And, of course, you know, still, you know, they have a sense of style, like men don't, it seems like, at least the kind of man that I am. I definitely don't have a sense of style. But... I don't know, this dolling up, it's really, I find it disgusting. The whole makeup, the whole earring, well, tattoo, I don't care. I mean, but it's not, Jenny had a few tattoo. I don't get it. I really don't get it at all. What, is that, that's a CRV one? Yeah, CRV, an old Honda. Anyway, so here we're about to enter on a trail, so there should be 2-3 spots that's going to be muddy. So we'll see. So, anyway, so you had this young quarterback, the guy from Kansas City. I think he already won a Super Bowl, so he's quite talented. He's quite praised. So, obviously, you know, you have this kind of... I'm wondering how that can be differentiated. I feel there's a big difference between somebody who becomes famous very young, most of them, versus somebody who becomes very famous as they get older. Because I think that fame is less interesting as you get older. But when you're young, I mean, can you imagine when you're being told, you know, wow. I was thinking of Michael Jordan, because I think him, if I'm not mistaken, no, he was. I mean, obviously, by the end of high school. Initially, he was not, you know. But then he grew, and he just really got stronger and better. So he was really big. But he sounded like... That didn't seem to matter that much to him, you know, fame. Obviously it did, but it feels like he was kind of balanced when it came to that. But I think for a lot of people, like this guy from Kansas, it just seems like quite an kind of immature, very talented kind of a guy. And I'm just like, I don't know. Seeing that on the screen, it was like... You know, is that who you want to show? But of course, you know, when you do it, all those things that you do, you know, like commercially, obviously, you want to move the product. So it is very important, you know, to move the product. And even if what you're moving might not be what you care the most about, but at least you're successful on that level, and I can appreciate that. Because if not, why even bother? If you're doing something that's not going to be viewed, that's not going to be sold, that's not going to be promoted, and from which you won't be able to be used again to promote other things, then it doesn't make any sense. So I think it comes within it. And I think there are very, very few people who are somehow can grasp something that to me is of value and of great interest and somehow become successfully commercially, or could become commercially successful. Anyway, and I was just thinking of James Cameron. I mean, the guy, his movies, out of the top four, three of his movies of the that have grossed the most money, you know, Avatar, and even Avatar 2, which was, to me, such a piece of shit. And then I forgot which other movie made the most money, but then they had Titanic, which, again, to me was like, I never quite understood also why that movie was, I guess, on a woman front I could see, but, you know, not being a woman, I can relate to an extent, but it just, you know, I don't get it. But even looking back now, when I look at James Cameron, what he did, of course he had the Terminator, which was also, I mean, the guy has done some big commercial hit. You know, it's got to be this guy's got to be one of the golden geese of Hollywood, you know. So whatever that is. Anyway, I kind of got lost a little bit there. But yeah, so I deleted all the rest of Love is Blind. I never got through the first episode. It was just like, just not for me, you know. And that's fine, you know. I mean, I could see where it could be, you know, kind of something fun to watch. You know, you could, even if you were like a couple, you could be like trying to guess who's going to end up with who, like who's a jerk, you know, you know, whatever. All those silly things. That could be fun to do, actually. I like games, anyway. But no, I was like, that is not for me. That would be a waste of time. Anyway. So yesterday, after I went to see the doggy, I went to the library. And I tried Ferrari. And whatever the guy's name is, I forgot. He played like in, I think, what is it called? The Marriage? With Joanne Scarlettson. Oh, is that Joanne Scarlettson? I forgot her first name. Anyway, well, you know which actress I'm talking about. Kind of a funny, sexy actress. Scarlett Johansson. And so he played in that, and I think he became kind of a... Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, he plays Ferrari, basically. Enzo Ferrari. And it was horrible. So I watched, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and it was just like, meh, not for me. And so I kind of looked below screen for something, and I saw the one about Edward Snowden. And it'd been a while since I watched it, so I started to watch that. And then the guy told me, like, the librarian at 7:25, they was closing earlier. And again, doesn't matter, I don't know what the reason, you know, maybe there's something that was planned. Whatever the case, maybe I said nothing. I packed my stuff and left and said, thank you, goodbye. And I was with my thought, with my frustration about, you know, him doing that and be thinking of, let me contact the city hall and, you know, is that normal? Or do you even know that he's doing that? But I'm like, no, 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 no. You're not going to indulge into any of that. No complaint. You do not know what the context is. You don't need to know. You don't need to get privy of it. You know? No. So, in a cenobitic life, you know, in a monastic life, one of the big point, one of the big pillar is submission. And it makes sense to me. You just shut up. Your opinion doesn't matter. You know, it's like you just... This is not the focus. The focus is... You're not responsible to make things better. That's not where you are. You know, if I was in that place, that's a different story. You know, if I was in charge, then it would be my job. But it's not. So it's not asked for. It's not useful. it's not helping, you know. And if anything, it's building in this kind of ego, self-importance, and again, that propensity to judge, you know. And of course, what comes along for you to judge somebody, again, something good or bad has happened, and somehow you use the arbitrary of that. Arbitrary? I forgot the name for that one, but you know what I'm saying. And so, definitely, I'm quite aware and being very mindful. And of course, it's easier than if you are day in, day out. If I was day in, day out with like Juan, living with him, that would be quite challenging. That would be quite challenging to not be triggered, you know. Or I would have to really create strong boundaries. Really strong boundaries. But I don't know. It would not make sense with somebody like Juan. It just wouldn't make sense. Anyway, so of course I said nothing. I definitely made a point to say, thank you, good night. And then to make sure that what was coming out of me, you know, was peaceful, was non-judgmental, you know, was not frustrated, none of that. And then as I was walking home, you know, was with the thoughts, and definitely the clear message is, shut the fuck up. There is nothing for you to complain about. Things are going to be what they're going to be. You're going to roll with the punches. You're flexible enough, work on your tolerance. There is way more for you to gain in tolerance than in learning to become a better critic, you know. And same, you know, on a Camino, you know, they were. Here, the guys. He's not gonna come. Anyway, they're burning olive branches, olive tree branches. So yeah, on the Camino too, at times, you know, of course you arrive, you're tired, you know, like not having, whatever the case may be, like the couple of places, there's always one or two places where there'll be no toilet paper. And actually that's one thing, you know, I normally carry some extra with me. But the irony is that it's one thing to carry it in your backpack, but if you don't look to see if there is any before you sit down and take a dump, because it's so gross for me, the idea of not cleaning yourself before you put your pants back on. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but, oh. And of course, to use your hands to clean yourself if you have to. Anyway, just thinking about it, it just makes me nauseous. Poop is really an Achilles heel for me. But the point is, no, you say nothing. If you can do something, or if I feel like me mentioning, it's not like so much a critic, but me mentioning, hey, just so that you know, that's going on here or whatever, and then you move on. And then if they want to do anything, that's a deal, but that's different because it's not like something should be done about it. But that a person might not be aware and might want to be aware of it, so might actually appreciate somebody. And that's me thinking of myself. If, you know, if I had forgotten or whatever, something had happened and something changed, it'd be nice if somebody say, hey, by the way, you know. Whatever the case may be. Anyway. All right. A little more sun, a little more warmth now. You can feel that. It's amazing how much time I'm spending. I guess part of me, when I think of the morning routine, you know, I mean, it's taking me almost 7 hours from when I get up to when my breakfast and dishes are done and I move on to other things. is when the afternoon comes and I have trouble. Like yesterday afternoon, I took a nap, which was nice. I kind of finished my nap along with Ramdas Pump podcast, which was great. And, you know, then I had my meal, which was scrumptious. And then I went to basically to snap a bunch of the branches that I've cut. And I'm kind of creating a pile on one edge of the property when the fence ends and there is a gap there. So thinking of the dogs, thinking of Ron, I'm kind of building up a pile of all those twigs and branches broken up to create a wall area. because obviously it actually would be very dangerous for somebody to go there, because then there is a precipice, and that would hurt coming down from falling from there. It's quite high. So I did that for a while, listening to podcasts, listening to Crispacion, to kind of like to be tight. Español con Juan, the teacher from Granada, talking about having a woman friend, a teacher from Barcelona, and she came on a podcast, and then there was some kind of vitriol on social media by natives again. This guy teaches Spanish, so he looks for subjects for conversation to make it in context, what he talks about, learning Spanish in context instead of being in a classroom, you know. Kyo shitsu, classroom. Not like jogyo. Yeah, jogyo is a class. Finally learning the difference between the actual building and the event. And so people basically went on and lashed out the whole, you know, controversy in Spain between with Catalonia and part of it wanting its independence and the other part being fine, you know, being like, yeah, we're Spanish. We're Catalan, but we're Spanish too. Anyway, and so basically that's unavoidable, this whole social media frenzy and that kind of very cheap vitriol that can be just spray over the social media wall. Well, so far, not much, actually. I see a couple of paddles, but everything is actually pretty walkable right now. So I'll be back on my big one on Thursday. I plan to go up there on a big climb. I think 3-4 days will be good. Well, it'll be 3 days, actually. But it'll be fine, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll be fine. Anyway, well, I feel quite energized this morning. Last week, well, we'll see when I come back, but last week I was a little tired. My energy was a little low coming back from Torredón Jimeno, Jota Jimeno. But it's actually cool too. Wasn't it kind of nice last week too, anyway? I forgot. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There was something else that was on my mind earlier, but it's not coming back up to the surface. So I think that's kind of enough of chewing the fat. Is there anything else on my journal entry? No, so you know I'll be having the bread tomorrow, more than likely, with Juan. That's kind of the plan. Actually, I thought when he was calling me this morning, because it was getting close to 11, which is when he's supposed to come tomorrow, that maybe he wanted to change the time. That's what I thought he was calling for. But I was practicing. I have I don't know why the Portuguese lesson, they have chapters with 11 of them. So 11 set of 17 questions. So which is, you know, so I do 10. I always keep, well, doesn't matter what my strategy, but whatever number of chapters I have in each series, I do all but one. And it has to do with points. But it works beautifully, actually. It's a great system. And so I was like, okay, I got 10 of them, which is part of why I didn't do Spanish this time, because, like I said, my Japanese, yeah. And, of course, the German, too. Takes a bit of time. Anyway, but regardless. And also my yoga. I'm actually, one thing I'm fine-tuning, which is very interesting, is really being mindful of the breath to put more effort in and out of breath, or really to kind of pump more oxygen in and then more carbon dioxide out. And then also to not rush it, to really be in the pose. So, you know, like sometimes you'd be thinking, okay, I'm going to do 20, you know, and you're just like, and you kind of rush to get there because it's getting harder or whatever, or you're impatient. But to really, and the breath helps, actually. So those things are intertwined. It helps. When you really focus on your breath, And I'm mindful that if my, you know, my breathing is a little more shallow, a little more rushed, or, you know, is it nice and smooth? So really working on that, really enjoying the child's pose. Anyway, so, and then the cat-cow too, actually, the whole flexing of that back. I'm increasing the number, you know, in my sets. So I think initially it was at 100, and now I'm between 3 to 4 and sometimes a little more 400 of those that I do. And I break them down so they sequence differently, which is really interesting the way it's evolving. But I really, really like it. I really, really like it. And I think it's going to make it, I think it's definitely becoming harder for me, unless I'm really engrossed, to be seated in the same position for an extended period of time. And speaking of sitting, I was listening this morning to a thing about sleeping. So there is I forgot the term, it's a weird term for basically the restorative quality of sleep, you know, like in terms of brain detoxifying and kind of what it does. So it, glymphatic, here we go. So they use the word glymphatic in respect to the brain. And so they talk about like the position. And apparently, however hard that science is there, but there's something suggesting that sleeping on the side, you know, is better than the back or the stomach. And it took me a long time. I used to be a stomach sleeper, you know, for the longest time, forever. And then I don't remember why, but at one point I retrained myself and I sleep on the side. And I found myself switching actually. And if I do wake up in the middle of the night, I will switch position naturally. But I do start on the right side and then I move to the left and go back to the right or whatever the case may be. But if we're talking about that, so that sleeping on the side, like talking about Alzheimer, and of course mixing a lot of other stuff, because sometimes, well, there are things like, they're also talking about sleeping longer hours, which seems to be more detrimental than less, actually. Anyway, what they're saying. So, and lately I've been sleeping, 8 to 9 hours. I forgot when I went to bed last night. I think maybe it was about 8:30. But it's 8.5 hours. That's quite a bit. Anyway. Okay, here's a muddy area here. Be careful. Slippery. Ooh, and I don't want to mud in my feet. Okay, that was a bit, not too bad. I'm going uphill now a little bit. So, for the future, the project is to keep doing those branches, to build that wall, to clean the kind of the yard, you know, in about more than at least 3 weeks. I'll do the mowing again, this time more than likely everywhere. I even had to do the right behind the house, but there's more shade there. But that'll be maybe coming up, and of course I'll do all of that, you know. My last week I'll definitely make a point to do all of it, you know. Mop, super nice the whole house, clean all the windows, so, you know, rake the yard, and anyway, do the thing that makes sense to me. Like I said, my goal is to just stay one day. So in the past, the last 2 years, really, and I still don't quite understand where or why. Well, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I end up staying longer at Pillow because she liked me being there, you know. But I have to say, for me, it was kind of like toward the end, it was just like, I don't know, it's just not doing it. So my goal, my intention at this time is to just go there. And maybe the idea would be for me to arrive, like, actually, of course, it'd be better if the children wasn't there because I don't want to take from her. But, you know, like, she would come and pick me up. and we'll take her out to eat, you know, and then go spend the night. And then next morning, take the bus or the train or combination to go to Zafra. And then the day after, to do the Camino del Sur. So that's kind of a... Is it? Yeah, I guess it's already my turn. Okay. Move over from the interstate now. Now I know three ways to go to Mercadona, and this one is the most efficient anyway, and the most traffic-free of all. Yeah, I never get tired of walking among the olive trees anyway. But I think that's it for today, right? Is there anything else? I think not. So my friend, we'll leave it at that. And lock the phone. Peace. Oh, that's a long podcast anyway. Wow. Anyway, peace and love to whoever you are. The one, the few, the many, whoever, I don't know, that are listening to this podcast. And anyway, thanks to my hypothetical listener out there. Love and peace.